Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. Well, of course, we're going to continue to talk about the attempted takeover of the U.S. Capitol, and we'll take your phone calls, too, in just a few minutes. We'll play some sound from newsmakers over the last 24 hours. But before we get to the calls and what I'd like to ask you, let's listen to 8 listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. Yesterday, I think we were all shocked by the outcome of the protests on Wednesday in Washington, D.C. And after discussing it yesterday at 11 o'clock, here's what 8 listeners had to say.
Tom Harbor, you ask what should be done about America's outrageous anti-American invasion that occurred yesterday at the direction of the President of the United States. It's very simple in my mind. It's an obvious act of treason against this country and the people and the people's will and the people's wishes. It's also an act of sedition. Treason is punishable by death. Sedition is a very severe crime. So I think what needs to happen is immediately enact the Amendment 25 to have this imbecile removed today, not next week, not in 2 weeks when he's out of office. Charge him formally with sedition, charge him formally with treason, and at the same time round up all of his enablers and all of the thugs and imbeciles who stormed the Capitol yesterday, and the police who did not do their job and let these people into the Capitol of our country to destroy it. It sounds outrageous, but as I said, treason is punishable by death. It always has been, and people in this country have been put to death for treason before. I would execute these people very quickly and publicly to put an exclamation point on the fact that you should not do this.
Hi, this is Keith from Tampa. I oppose the death penalty, but rhetorically speaking, since Trump has shown such a bloodthirsty enthusiasm for execution in the last few weeks, I wonder how he feels about execution as a penalty for inciting violent insurrection against the government.
My name is Susan Curry, and what I have not heard from anybody who is supporting Trump is specifically what it is that they are supporting. What is it that they want? Do they want America to be all white? Do they only want Christians to live in America? Do they want a dictator? What are they supporting? Or do they even know? I think they operate from fear and ignorance, and they make a lot of noise, but they never say what they want. And I would love for someone to tell me.
This is Betty from Sarasota, and I was just calling to chime in about all the comments and, of course, the awful events of yesterday. That was beyond despicable. Trump is beyond dangerous. This is a serious, flagrant crime that he committed by having all these people follow his directives. And it reminds me of, Hitler's era when millions of people listened to one crazed individual and followed his lead. And no matter what he said, the great vast majority agreed to go with it, because after all, if one guy is so enthused and so enthusiastic about what he's saying and so emphatic, well, he must be powerful and strong and all-knowing. So it was very, very shocking to see, not altogether surprising, but boy, goes to show how careful we have to be and keep our checks and balances in place. Thank you for your amazing show.
This is Rick from Tampa. And I know Trump is not the direct instigator of the riots, rebellions in Washington, D.C.'s Capitol building, but he was certainly an accomplice. He has deep pockets. I think they need to go after his money to do the necessary repairs based on his accomplice position in relationship to the rebellion that happened just this week.
I'm calling about yesterday's Radioactivity show. On Wednesday, January 6th, we witnessed, with the aiding and abetting and incitement of the President of the United States, an attempted coup to impose a fascist state on America. What we saw was the effect of what the abdication of your mind and values look like when you willingly substitute the mind and values of another person, no matter how demented, for your own sovereignty. On Wednesday, Trump gave us only the first glimpse of the ugly face of fascism when his stormtroopers laid siege to the Capitol, resulting in death, injury, and destruction of the people's property. Those of you who still support Donald Trump, please realize that you are complicit in what took place on Wednesday, and until you reject him and reclaim your own minds and values, you will remain part of the lawless lost who will always be ripe prey for the next demagogue who appears on the stage of American history.
You know, Trump has been setting up this fiasco since day one. The Republicans, who have continually kowtowed to him for their own personal gain or to push the conservative agenda, are as much at fault as Trump is. The police protectors of the Congress and the Senate knew this was coming for weeks, and they did not prepare accordingly. And now, after years of supporting crazy, some Republicans are stepping away from supporting Trump as if yesterday is a surprise. It wasn't. Trump wanted this to feed his ego. The Republicans wanted this to be able to step away from Trump while acting shocked that things went this far.
This is Kevin from Seminole. Rick Scott is complicit and should resign immediately for his objection to the certification of the votes by the people of this country. We hold the power, not you, Scott. You are a disgrace to our country and the state of Florida. You are no longer my senator. You are a traitor. On another note, just think back a little. Does the Benghazi debacle bring back any lessons? Republicans conducted a full onslaught against Clinton for not protecting an outpost where four government people died. Republicans attacked her and demanded she be removed from her position in government. Trump is responsible for inciting a riot and insurrection against our country. We know now that five people have died and dozens of officers have been injured, destruction to a government building as well. What would Republican leaders do if this insurrection was orchestrated and promoted by a sitting Democratic president? What would they do? Exactly who should be removed, fired from their position? Doesn't matter how many days left in this term.
Wow, a lot of listener comments after yesterday's program, after the horrible events on Wednesday when thousands of people tried to take over the U.S. Capitol using force and violence to get in, to break in to the Capitol and putting our entire democracy in danger. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Police officers, we heard at the top of the hour and we've been hearing all morning, a police officer has died from injuries sustained as President Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building on Wednesday. The Capitol Police say Officer Brian Sicknick died yesterday after being injured while physically engaging with protesters during the Wednesday confrontation. Reports are he was beaten with a fire extinguisher. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There is lots of discussion about what to do next. And Democratic Congresswoman Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, who is the assistant House Speaker to Nancy Pelosi, says that if Vice President Mike Pence and the cabinet do not invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president from office, lawmakers in the House will quickly move forward with impeachment. This is what Clark said this morning on CNN.
Donald Trump needs to be removed from office, and we are going to proceed with every tool that we have to make sure that that happens to protect our democracy. If the reports are correct and Mike Pence is not going to uphold his oath of office and remove the president and help protect our democracy, then we will move forward with impeachment to do just that.
All right. Talk to me about the mechanics of that, starting when and how. How exactly is this going to work?
Well, that will be early as the mid next week. We do have a process we have to go through, but let's be clear what's at stake here. We have a president who incited a seditious mob to storm the Capitol. We now have 5 deaths from that. And the harm to our democracy is really unfathomable.
Well, that was Congresswoman Kathleen Clark, a Democrat from Massachusetts, this morning with John Berman on CNN. Do you agree with her? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Several people who are politicians from this area participated in the Capitol protest. There were people from the Tampa Bay area that drove up to Washington, D.C., or flew up to be in the protest. And at least 3 men from Florida have been charged with unlawful entry into the chaotic breach of the U.S. Capitol by the mob supporting President Trump. Officials say Florida firefighters have also been placed on leave. The U.S. Capitol Police say that John Anderson of St. Augustine, Michael Curzio of Summerfield, Florida, are facing unlawful entry charges because they broke in to the U.S. Capitol. And officials also say that a Sanford Fire Department firefighter, Andy Williams, is on paid administrative leave pending an investigation of his participation in the Capitol break-in. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is a live show, and let's take some calls from listeners. Let's go to Frank in Sarasota. Frank, what are your thoughts so far?
Hi, Rob. Well, I just wanted to fill you in that flag that they were talking about yesterday, the Vietnamese flag, that designates Vietnam veterans. So if they're,
carrying a South Vietnamese flag, okay. Yeah.
So, you know, those guys who are carrying that are no spring chickens. For the most part. And what I want to say was, you know, I expect Trump, you know, and Trump Jr. and Guilfoyle and Eric and Lara and Giuliani and all those characters, along with Rick Scott, Rafael Cruz, and Josh Hawley, Greg Stubbe from around here, I expect them all to be indicted, and I hope that they indict him for accessory to murder, because that's what happens when somebody dies of a murder. If you're complicit in that crime, then you should be indicted and tried and sentenced.
And why do you, let's just, for instance, why do you include Stubbe, your congressman?
He's not my congressman, my congressman is Buchanan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But he's from next door. And he was one of the ones that objected to the, you know, securing the election.
Let me read something. You know, Marco Rubio voted to certify the election the other day, but Marco Rubio just put out a statement just a few minutes ago, and this is what he said. And let me ask you whether or not this encourages the violence or discourages the violence. He says that state officials, he's talking about state officials around the country, mutilated election integrity laws to help the Democrats. And the result is that you had millions of people who are convinced that the election wasn't fair and the outcome wasn't legitimate. Millions of people. And they wanted something done about it. That's Rubio's statement from earlier today. Does that tamp down the violence, or does that increase it?
No, it increases it. For one thing, that's a ridiculous statement. Everybody knows the election is accurate and certified. And, you know, they had, I think it was 2 years ago, they had Chris Kobach. They established one of those, you know, election, you know,
integrity commissions, and they found nothing.
And they found zero, right. And if they did the same thing again, they would still find zero.
I think Kobach was looking in the wrong place. I think there are places where voters' participation is suppressed, but I don't think Kobach looked into that, yeah.
Right, but there are very few people, you know, voting twice or dead people voting or anything like that. And let me say just one more thing. As a guy who grew up around D.C., went to high school there, and then, you know, you can't swing a dead cat in D.C. without hitting a cop somewhere. So these people, those police there at the Capitol, they ought to be indicted, too, for letting this happen. I mean, they have park police, they got the Metro Police, Federal Police, Secret Service, FBI. They got more police there than you can shake a stick at. And they let this thing get out of hand, and I'm disgusted.
Yeah, I remember going to Senate and House office buildings a few years ago and trying to meet with the members of Congress, and the security was really tight. So how this mob was able to get in, I'll never know. Security was real tight going into the Capitol.
Right, exactly. You have to go through the visitor center there. You have to get a pass. My daughter went through there. You know, she had to get a pass. She got a pass from Vern Buchanan, our congressman here, in order to take a tour. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
There
needs to be an investigation. I think they're on it. Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you for your time.
All right. 813-239-9663. We have all men in the queue right now, but let's hope that some women call. The number to call, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Greg in Tampa. Greg, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I have a couple of things I wanted to put out there. First of all, I was listening to True Talk earlier, and people are debating about just how to label the people that invaded the Capitol, from white supremacists, are they rioters, are they protesters, are they seditionists? And I think that there are two things you can mention here. One, they're stupid. And by that I mean, I'm working from a definition of stupidity as the deliberate cultivation of ignorance, which is to say that the people that backed Trump put out the consistent lines of lies that these people fall for.
Greg, I'm not going to cut you off, and I'm not going to disagree with you, but if you ask those people themselves why they were there, they think that they have a lock on the best information. They think that they're advocating for the truth. So go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's rhetoric. That's the power of rhetoric, convincing people that black is white and up is down. So that's why you can have, for example, someone with that 6MWE T-shirt, that horrible anti-Holocaust T-shirt, standing next to somebody who claims they're a Zionist. They don't get the contradiction. Yeah. But the other thing I wanted to bring up is that the other label that fits all of these people, irrespective of other things, is that they're all criminals. And I was trying to recall, and I found this phone call that A.G. Barr made to all the U.S. attorneys in September of last year, where he said they should consider charging rioters and others who had committed violent crimes at protests in recent months with sedition. So Barr put that message out to all the U.S. attorneys in the United States. And clearly what happened yesterday fits that definition. So I heard on your news feed that several Florida people were charged with unlawful entry. But I hope that the U.S. attorney of the Middle District of Florida, whose last name is Lopez, goes ahead and charges the people that came from Florida. And I heard two people on the videos yesterday say they were from Tampa. And then I found out the guy that stole Pelosi's lectern is from Bradenton. Mm. To prosecute them for sedition.
All right. Greg, I believe you. What's your source on that last part? That the guy is from Bradenton who stole Pelosi's lectern?
I don't have the exact reference in front of me, but there are some. If you look up on Google, if you Google the information about who stole her lectern, it's actually, he's from Parrish, Florida, and they identify him by name and age as well.
All right, well, that's right in the heart of our listening area. Greg, thank you very much.
Rob, just one more thing. I wanted to encourage people to call the U.S. Attorney's Office and remind her that this is the protocol that's been put out by the Justice Department.
Do you have that number?
I don't have the number, but it's really easy to find. U.S. Middle District of Florida, and her name is Lopez. It's in Tampa. The headquarters is in Tampa.
All right, Greg, thank you very much.
Sure, Rob. Take care.
All right, take care. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Who were the people that broke in to the Capitol? Who were they? There's a really terrific article on businessinsider.com, and I'm going to just read some of it about the people that broke into the Capitol and invaded it. Some rioters wore clothing associated with the conspiracy theory QAnon. They waved Confederate flags. The Proud Boys made an appearance. One person carried a flag, which is the flag of Kekistan, which is a fictional country that is used by neo-Nazis. CNN reported this. It's that green flag. Many of us were watching the coverage and saw that mysterious green flag. Well, that is a flag that celebrates Pepe the Frog and is used by neo-Nazis. So that's what that flag is all about. The three percenters were there. It's an extremist group that exists within the U.S.'s so-called militia movement. It's traditionally viewed as anti-government. Also there, Jake Angeli, the guy that was wearing the horn cap. He's a QAnon supporter, but he also, get this, he had Viking and Norse symbols tattooed on his body. Well, Viking and Norse symbology does not necessarily have racist origins, but it has been appropriated by white supremacist and neo-Nazi movements. The shirtless Angeli prominently displayed his tattoos of such Norse symbols, including a Valknut, interlocking triangles on his upper left chest and what appears to be Thor's hammer on his stomach. So we got to watch out for that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. There was a man wearing a Camp Auschwitz sweatshirt inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. It was caught on ITV News. ITV News reported from inside the Capitol. It captured the footage of the man wearing a Camp Auschwitz sweatshirt. That's an effort to downplay the severity of the Holocaust. And multiple nooses appeared around the Capitol on Wednesday, suggesting that the people outside wanted to hang people that they considered to be traitors. Of course, the Confederate flag was there. Proud Boys showed up, and they made gestures indicating white power. They were supporters of the president. I posted a long article about this on my Facebook page, and you can go on my Facebook page and find this. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Tim on Davis Island. Tim, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hello. I have a really kind of sidebar story about Josh Hawley. I went to Rockhurst High School in Kansas City, a Jesuit high school, years and years ago, and I saw he was there. And I called up the president of the high school, and I spoke to the president of Rockhurst this morning on the telephone. And he said the school is being very much overwhelmed by alumni calling up complaining about Josh Hawley and asking the school to do something.
This is a senator from Missouri who walked into the Capitol raising his fist and saluting the mob as he walked into the Capitol on Wednesday.
And he's one of the main objectors to the votes. He was one of the persons who persisted in it. But it was interesting to me that I was just asking him to put out a statement that Hawley certainly didn't reflect the virtues and the morals and the training that we got at Rockhurst High School and through the years. And I find that many alumni from my high school called the high school to complain and ask that something be done, and they have put out a statement. I don't think it's exactly the statement I'd put out, but it does definitely say that that everything was not right, and it's and Hawley is not the kind of person we want representing Rockhurst High School. It's just like Jesuit High School here in Tampa. It's a Jesuit school in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think Catholics, Catholic prep schools have all sorts of people graduating from it left and right. I know that personally. So, Tim, thanks a lot. Thank you for
that.
All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Over on the East Coast, there's a meeting of Republicans. The Republican National Committee is meeting on Florida's East Coast. The president called in to the members-only breakfast yesterday morning, and the president apologized for missing the meeting but insisted he wanted to speak, so he spoke to the group, and that brought cheers from the RNC members meeting on Florida's East Coast yesterday morning. And that's being reported by The Hill. 813-239-9663. A former Republican, Steve Schmidt, was on MSNBC yesterday, and he was asked about this moment in U.S. history. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Right. American politics realign this month. We're now one election away in this country from losing our democracy because one party doesn't believe in it. We saw the poisoning of American democracy drip by drip, drop by drop this month until we saw 82% of Republicans said, hey, this is illegitimate. And once you reach that critical mass, you're in a lot of trouble as a society and a country. And this is going to be the defining political fight, I suspect, over the balance of all of our lifetimes. But truly a historic month, and not one for the good, in the middle of a profound calamity. And Trump's vandalism of this country, its institutions, has been profound, and it will be damaging for a long time to come.
Steve, I understand, I think at this point, why Trump does what he does, from people like Tim O'Brien and his niece who've spoken out. I do not understand how elected Republicans like Mitch McConnell and even right-wing hosts like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh do not say today there's a line that can't be crossed, and that's violence.
That line is in the rearview mirror, Nicole. They crossed it. They crossed the Rubicon. They crossed it in the month of November. We cannot be fantastical in wishing that what has happened has not happened. In our thinking, it has happened. We've watched it play out. We've watched Trump and his loony attorneys. We've watched the declarations of fraud. We've seen United States senators, members of the House of Representatives. They all know that Biden has won the election. What they're doing is for no purpose other than power. The Republican Party is an organized conspiracy for the purposes of maintaining power for self-interest and the self-interest of its donor class. There is no fidelity to the American idea and ideal. There is no fidelity to the ideas of classical liberalism or American democracy. The whole fight in the history of the country has been who gets to participate in the American idea and ideal. In 2020, there's one side, and I'm proud to be on it, that says it's for everybody, for Black people, for Latinos, for gay people, for every American, right? It belongs to all of us. That's not what the other side believes. They believe that they should rule over the majority of the country by any means necessary. The debate that has been about, do we get to participate in this great experiment, has now become one whether we continue with this great experiment at all. That's why they are so radical. There has never been a force that has achieved power or is within reach of achieving power in the next election that's been so hostile to the history, the foundings, the essence, and the entire meaning of the country, as is this Trump and Trumpist movement that has taken over lock, stock, and barrel the Republican Party, which is no longer dedicated to American democracy. It is dedicated to Trump and Trumpism and to his family, to defense of his indecencies, his autocratic manner, his corruptions, and apologists for the profound damage he has done.
Steve Schmidt of the Lincoln Project on MSNBC yesterday issuing a dire warning about what's happening within the Republican Party. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We're talking about the Capitol break-in on Wednesday here on 88.5 FM. Jeff writes, there is an article from Newsweek in which the journalist who took the footage of police letting the rioters through the gates explains that the police did not open the gates for the rioters. He said that the police backed off because they were totally outnumbered. Writes Jeff. We have about 50 emails here. I'm going to read most of them, at least as many as I can get to. Every line is lit. Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. And after Liz, we're going to go to Rob in Wikiwachi. Liz, you're on. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. I'm going to have to say that I'm struggling myself with how I feel about people who support Trump, whether they were a part of this actual insurrection or not. I am suffering consequences because of Trump supporters, these no-maskers. I closed my business for 20 weeks to tamp down the virus. 20 weeks I kept my business from running. And I am in business now, but I institute mask wearing and everything. These people are hurting my business because this is too long and too intense. Of a situation that we're in directly because Trumpers don't want to wear masks. Go ask your guy with the crowbar, Tom at the crowbar. His business is suffering because other Trumpers don't want to wear masks. And so and my own sister is a Trumper. I struggle, and I need help finding forgiveness for these people for being duped like this. Now, I don't usually take quotes out of the playbook from Republicans, but both Chris Christie and the Arizona guy that ran for president, Mitt Romney, they both said the way you be a friend to person and being a good friend to someone is always telling them the truth, no matter what. These people must be brought to the truth. And we have to help them do it. Now, we have to suffer Trump here in Florida because he's bringing his machine down here to get Ivanka ready for the Senate. She wants to replace Marco Rubio. He's got his machine down here, and he's got a support system in Ron DeSantis. People have to get active in their parties and get out and disseminate
the truth. Liz, I mean, I know it is hard to talk to Trump supporters because I've got some in my immediate family. But when you say that Trump's bringing down his machine, do you think that the public is recognizing the danger of Trumpism now after what happened on Wednesday? Because if you've got neo-Nazis and you've got far-right extremists trying to take over and maybe hang members of Congress that they don't like or politicians they don't like, isn't that a bridge too far, even for the most diehard conservative?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, but they have to come out and say it. And you know, I'm scared to death to ask my own sister if she still supports this man, because it may mean that I cannot have any relationship with her.
Yeah, it is tough. Liz, thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Yep.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to Rob and Wiki Wachi, and after that we're going to go to John and St. Pete. Rob, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, how you doing? Your show is fantastic. I've been listening to you guys for many years. God bless you, what you guys are doing. This, to me, I've lived in Florida all my life. And to watch, to see people, like just Liz just said, in denial when we have a pandemic. We have a pandemic. That's a fight. That's a true fight. But everybody's in denial. That's, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like backwoods. I've been here since I was 4 years old in Florida. And it's so disconcerting to see these people, not like she said, not wearing a mask. The whole thing with the Capitol, it's these people, they get real bad information on the internet, and that should be stopped.
And Rob, you're a Wiki Watcher. It's got to be really tough for you. Because, I mean, Liz was in Spring Hill. That's far enough away from a big city. But you're way up there in WikiWatch. Well, where do folks get their information there in WikiWatch who are not wearing masks?
Well, you know, I've just listened to a buddy of mine the other day when all this happened. And, you know, we brought up the conversation a little bit. And he says, "You didn't see Antifa there, man? I can't believe you didn't see Antifa there." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" You know, that what's happening with the country right now is everybody, to me, what I see is everybody is a little bit, closed up, you know. You got all these tensions from what's happening with the pandemic. And I have a daughter that's a cardiologist in Boston. She says, "Dad, this is serious." You know, she had to go in and do all the COVID patients and stuff and ICU, and she's a cardiologist, but they needed her, you know, back in July, and we have a pandemic, and we should take note that 1918 wasn't a joke. This isn't a joke now.
Rob, what I would say to you is that for your friends that think that Antifa was involved, get the names, and the names are being published now, of the people that are being arrested, and then see if they match up with far-right groups or Antifa. And I think what we're going to find is that they're all far-right.
I think the problem is the misinformation on the internet. You know, we're getting, instead of everyone, and plus the big problem is people, this social groups, you know, then you go, and the FBI should listen in to a lot of these people in these rural areas.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they don't. Rob, I got to go, but okay, thank you very much. Thanks for calling us all the way from WikiWatchy. Thank you. Let's go to John in St. Pete, then we'll go to Simon in Lakeland. John in St. Pete, what would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I just want to bring up the fact that Donald Trump should not be impeached, and he should be impeached, but we need to let him serve it out and contain him, not let him do anything. Do not take any orders from him, because Mike Pence will just, he'll assume control and he'll pardon him. So we need to leave him in there and control him. The other thing I wanted to bring up is the fact that all ISIS would have had to done is join in with a group like this undercover And with a joint session of Congress, you have everybody there, including the vice president. They could have had killed every one of our legislators very easily.
Well, what do you make? I mean, yesterday I was looking at some of the conservative websites, and these far-right people are vowing to go back for the inauguration. What do you make of their threats to go back for the inauguration and do something similar?
Oh, well, I think the military should be there. There should be military presence. The city should be sealed off. Everybody should be searched. And if you want to protest, there should be a protest zone. And I think that's, you have to contain these people so they can't get loose.
All right, John, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. We're going to go to Simon in Lakeland in just a moment, but let's listen to Bernie Sanders. This is what he said earlier today. No, actually, this was last night on CNN. This is Bernie Sanders. He was asked, what's the best way to deal with the problems that we've got right now in the country? Here's the Vermont senator.
Trump has been a disaster. The worst president in the history of the United States. That's terrible. But what I worry about even more is that something like 74 million people voted for him. That tens of millions of people believe his outrageous lie that this election was stolen. And what we have got to do, let me just be very clear, as the incoming chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, I remember what happened in 2010, and that is the Democrats during the 2008-2010 period controlled the White House, they controlled the Senate, controlled the House. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And you remember what happened in 2010? Democrats got wiped out. They had the power, but they did not deliver for the American people. So what we have got to do right now, no ifs, buts, or maybes, is have an aggressive agenda that says we understand that millions of people, including my neighbors right here in Vermont, people lining up in their cars in order to get emergency food. People can't pay their medical bills. People are going deeper and deeper into debt. People are facing eviction. Millions of people have lost their jobs. We have to act and act now. And the first order of business, by the way, is to pass an emergency COVID-19 bill, which, among many other things, says to working class Americans, we know you're in pain. And we're going to get you a $2,000 check for every working class adult in this country. We are on your side. We are prepared to take on the big money interests who have so much power. We're going to expand healthcare to cover the uninsured. We're going to deal with student debt. We have got to be bold in a way that we have not seen since FDR in the 1930s. And if we do not do that, those millions and millions of people who vote for Trump, they're going to continue to believe that government does nothing for them. And we've got to change that attitude. The only way I know how to do that is to do the work that the people need us to do. And by the way, we have got to develop grassroots organizing all over this country. Instead of investing in consultants and 30-second TV ads, we need to put tens of millions of dollars into neighborhood and community organizing all over this country. Talk to people, knock on their doors, not just the week before the election, but 2 years before the election. Listen to what they have to say. Can they afford health care? Can they afford prescription drugs? So we need to be bold, and I will do everything in my power to see the Congress moves in that direction.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders yesterday on CNN. Well, what do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Simon in Lakeland, then we'll go to Danny in Tampa. Simon, you're on the air. What do you think about the neo-Nazis at the Capitol?
Well, thank you very much, Rob, for taking my call, and you'll afford me a little bit of time. With regard to this being a bastion of democracy, let's not forget Olga Brownstein. They killed her 17-year-old child. She was a sister of Trotsky. So maybe barely.
Wait a minute. We're talking about the killing of the sister of Trotsky going back to the USSR in the early 1930s. Simon, can you bring yourself up to date? What do you think about neo-Nazis at the White House?
Rob, you're calling people. The listeners are calling people.
Simon, what do you think about neo-Nazis at the White House?
Finish, Rob.
Oh, I'm asking you, what do you think about neo-Nazis at the White House? Simon, if you don't answer the question, I'm going to let you go. Either answer the question, or if you don't care about neo-Nazis, I'm going to move on.
Neo-Nazis? My parents got reparations.
Okay, do you care about neo-Nazis supporting President Trump at the Capitol this week? I said White House, I misspoke. Do you care about that, Simon, or is this something you don't care about?
You're afraid to let me speak.
No, I'm not. I just know that you're going to bring up Trotsky and not the neo-Nazis. And I think you're trying to confuse people, Simon. It's not going to work on my show. You can try it on any other show. But you are not on point. Neo-Nazis were at the Capitol this week, and you've got nothing to say about it, right? Right? You've got nothing to say about it. You don't care.
Let me speak.
Simon, you don't care. It's obvious. Thank you. Let's go to Danny, who's in Tampa. Danny, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Thank you, Rob. I believe that these people who stormed that Capitol, especially the leaders of the guy with the horns, the QAnon guy, the shirtless guy, and the guy who went into Pelosi's office, and all these people who are responsible should be arrested and to the fullest extent of the law. And I believe that Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump Jr. also should be arrested for inciting to riot, and they should be arrested for sedition and treason. And I knew that this was going to happen. And as I sat there watching this, I just knew this was going to happen at some time in his presidency, especially now. And when I saw marching, I said, it's going to just be a few minutes. And I was right, exactly right, right when they stormed it. And I said, well, there it is. And, you know, Jake Tapper made a good point. He said, you know, I haven't seen crowds like this wild since the Vietnam War. However, they never breached the Capitol. Of course, they were beat over the head before they were even...
And they rounded them up and put them in RFK Stadium and handcuffed them, and they were in the sun in May at the moratorium. Yeah, I mean...
Exactly right, Rob. Very good memory. Very good. And then Jake Tapper says, but you know what? Those people back then, they wanted to stop a war. These people want to start a war. That's the difference. And you know what? I'll tell you, the people who are here in Tampa that we know and you've heard, and Mark, by the way, I'm glad that Mark called up yesterday, because that's exactly what I was thinking. I said, how did these guys get in there? And I said, well, you know, just same way Jack Ruby got in. You know, they let him in there. And these guys taking selfies, those guys should be not Capitol Police anymore. But anyway.
Okay.
Rob, great show.
Thank you, Danny.
Listen, man, hey, can't wait till January 20th.
All right, let's hope it's safe. Danny, thank you very much. 813-239-9663. David writes this, after the invasion of the Capitol buildings this week, I passed Trump supporters waving flags on Del Mabry in Tampa. I slowed down. I called them traitors through my window. They literally pumped their fists in the air and laughed and yelled, hell yeah. People of Tampa, just keep in mind, it's not just D.C. that's under threat, writes David. And then Beverly writes this, the parallel with Benghazi is worth further discussion. Thank you, caller, for voicing what I was thinking. Yes, when Benghazi was overrun in Libya, there were months and months and months and months and months of investigations into Hillary Clinton's alleged involvement in that. Well, four people died in Benghazi, and five people have died so far, maybe more, because several people are still in the hospital. Looking back, writes Jerome, for such lofty goals, it was a weak, impotent attempt with a tiny amount of people, and I think Trump realized it, and that's why he's changed course. So Jerome kind of downplaying the invasion of the Capitol. Thank you, Jerome, for your thoughts. And then David writes this, I hope you'll consider playing the Alyssa Farah interview on CNN today. She's a former Trump communications director, and she said today that Trump knew he lost the election in November but lied about it and fomented dissent among his easily duped supporters, writes David. I think it's interesting that people have begun to leave the Trump administration now, but where were they a year ago or 2 years ago as the number of lies piled up? I mean, now you've got Betsy DeVos leaving. She won't be able to help invoke the 25th Amendment. But why is she leaving this week? Why not stay and try to invoke the 25th Amendment? Let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to Andy in Dunedin, and then we're going to go to Beverly in Largo. Andy in Dunedin, you're on WMNF. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Rob, as if those people finally grew the spine. It was reported on PBS News the other night that there's close to 950 hate groups in this country. What I would like to see done is, okay, post 9/11, you know, the CIA, FBI, NSA, they were all looking out for terrorist cells in this country. What I would like to see done is take the funds from that nonsense Space Force thing, if they've even allocated funds for that, give it to the NSA so they can start a new branch within their organization that looks out for all these hate groups in this country and just go up and round them up, because these are domestic terrorists. If these were Islamic terrorist groups within our country, they would have been rounded up in the bat of an eye. So,
yeah, you know, I don't agree you should round people up, but if people are in the midst of committing a crime or have committed a crime, then they should be rounded up. So if you're planning to kidnap the governor of Michigan, if you're breaking in violently to the U.S. Capitol building, yes. But if you're
about the government.
Okay, Andy, I can't let you on the air. I'll get fired if I let more talk like that on the air. You can't use the S word on the air, and there are seven dirty words you cannot use. So let's go to Beverly in Largo, and let's go to Gilda in Bel Air. Beverly first. Beverly, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes. Hi, Rob. Like so many of us, I was just appalled and terrified watching the assault on the Capitol, on our democracy. I guess I wasn't really surprised, but I've been listening to the callers, and, you know, our options seem to be invoke the 25th or impeachment, and, you know, a lot of people think that it's going to take too long. But one thing struck me after all of this happened, and I was so proud to see our Congress come together and reconvene immediately after this assault and certify Biden's presidency.
Yeah, I thought that was a great debate and great moment. But Beverly, one thing that bothered me is that you still had people, Rick Scott, for instance, our junior U.S. senator.
Right.
He got up and said, I'm not going to certify the election results in Pennsylvania because I think it was stolen. Well, the election was not stolen in Pennsylvania. Even the senator from Pennsylvania, Toomey, who's a Republican, said it wasn't stolen.
Well, so, we know who Rick Scott is.
Yeah, I worry that by Rick Scott saying the election was stolen, that gives rise to these far-right groups that want to say the election was stolen and they have the right then to invade the Capitol.
Well, our courts have upheld the integrity of the election.
They have, but these folks are not listening to the courts.
Well, you know what? I still think we need to invoke the 25th immediately. Make Pence the president. There's too much at stake right now. There are too many days before Biden's inauguration where, Trump has shown himself to be mentally unstable. He has committed treason. He has his finger on the nuclear codes. We can't afford to wait. So I'm all with Nancy Pelosi. Let's go after him. Let's invoke the 25th. And I think they can do it quickly. They have shown us already that they can move quickly and get through all the rhetoric and just get it done. So
yeah, it looks like they're going to bring it up next week. Beverly, yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for the call. All right, great to hear from you. And you're listening to 88.5 FM. Remember, we are listener-sponsored, and donations keep us on the air. It's not corporations or the government. So if you can make a contribution to us, please go to WMNF.org and make a contribution. Let's go to, looks like we're going to go to Gilda in Bel Air, and then we're going to go to Dave in Tampa. Gilda, thank you for calling. What would you like to say? Hi, thank you.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for putting me on. Actually, I wanted to answer your question about what did we think about the Nazis breaking into the White House. I've lived through the Nazis. I'm from England, and I was appalled by this whole thing. And these are all the people that support and stand by Trump. And when I think about the Blitz and the bombing and the Nazis that came into my beautiful country, England, and I am so appalled by everything, and I think your show is wonderful. I also want to say I loved Bernie Sanders' speech. He spoke honestly, truthfully, and I think something should be done to Trump for disobeying the law. And for doing what he's done, he should be arrested immediately and put down, put where they put the other people in jail when they have to wait in jail for a date when they will be tried. And he should be tried, and all his family who are also aiding and abetting Donald Trump In this country, I have learned you cannot aid and abet a criminal. I have learned that, and I'm a Brit, but I'm proud to be American. I'm so happy I'm in this country. I love it. We will get over this, and we'll get over the virus, too. It's going to come to an end. And thank you, Rob, for letting me speak and say my word about Trump and his associates.
Gilda, thank you. Did you survive the bombing of Britain?
Yes, sir, I did.
Wow.
I was in the Blitz and I was evacuated. And that's what Winston Churchill did. He said, get the kids out of the country. Get them away from the bombing. Manchester Ship Canal was bombed. So was London. And I was everywhere. And I had to be taken from my mother and dragged with a dog tag around my neck to live with people that I did not know and still hear the bombing every night coming.
Boy, that's a scary story. And your parents, your mom, certainly had to be courageous to go through that.
My dad was in the Royal Navy. My dad was away in the Royal Navy. And my mom took care of us. She worked munition work. Wonderful woman. She's not with us now because of age. And she has died. So,
Gilda, I'm so glad you called.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Gilda. It's an honor to have you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I'm going to listen to you more. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Gilda. Thank you. Let's go to Dave in Tampa, and then we're going to go to Susan on Anna Maria Island. Dave, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. That's really an interesting call because, you know, the history of Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler could have been stopped very early with very, very minimal effort by the French and the British and the Russians. He got away with it because people just kept sort of letting it go, and it became a conflagration. And I think we're in the same place here. I mean, I knew a guy who served in the National Guard in the 60s who told me stories of going to Cleveland, Ohio during riots and setting up a machine gun post at an intersection with other National Guardsmen with fixed bayonets waiting for people to come across the line. And, you know, there was no bloodshed, but they were ready. And I think these Nazis that invaded our capital the other day, it's time for them to see fixed bayonets and machine guns waiting for them. If they want to cross that line, you're going to meet force. And it's time to stop playing with these people. The longer they go, the worse it's going to get. And we can see that example by the woman who just told you of her living experience of having to be evacuated from London because of the Nazis. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
That stuff can be stopped and should be stopped now with force.
All right.
Want to come across the line.
David, thank you. Thanks for your thoughts. Let's go to Susan on Anna Maria Island. Susan, thank you for calling. What would you like to say? Wait a minute. Let me get Susan on. Susan, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make it quick. This is horrendous, and these are the same people that claim to back the Blue Lives Matter. And you can't compare BLM to these people that with their barbarian acts. BLM is protesting the murders of people, and a lot of times unarmed. And this
murders caught on camera. There's no dispute that these are murders, and these other folks are protesting with fakery.
Yeah, right? they don't like what happened, and they are traitors. And we need to deal with them, and we need to deal with them swiftly.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. Good to hear from you. Patrick writes this, the comparison with Benghazi. That was the most astute observation I've heard since Wednesday. Benghazi is compared to what just happened. I had not thought about that, writes Patrick. And he says that the Republicans massively blew Benghazi out of proportion. Well, let's see what they do with the deaths of 5 people. They were concerned about the deaths of 4 people in Benghazi. Let's see what they do about the deaths of 5 people. David writes this, Rubio and Scott are both a disgrace. They need to be voted out for supporting Trump's lies, writes David. David, thank you for that. And then Eric writes this. He says, I was working out in Sarasota, Florida Thursday and heard 2 Trump people saying they were locked and loaded and ready. Later, one of the same Trump people said that my face was just a target for him since I supported Biden. Wow. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up on our comment line, 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Midpoint program, and Janelle is back. She'll be hosting the program for the next hour. Thanks for listening, and this is Cindy Philpott's been our phone producer today. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland, Brady.